Hello and welcome to the DeMartini Show. This is the podcast for people who love personal development and who feel that constant progress is one of the most important measures of their life. If you're one of those individuals and you love to learn and grow, and doing something that makes a difference in the world is what drives you, then you've tuned into the perfect podcast with Dr. John DeMartini. He's a human behavior expert with over 48 years of research into human behavior and performance. What you'll learn in these episodes will give you a significant advantage in all the areas of your life. Each week, we investigate a new aspect of human behavior as it relates to empowering your life. And this week, it's how to overcome the fear of public speaking and build your confidence. If you have a fear of public speaking, or if you perceive that you do not have the confidence to stand up in front of a group of people and share a message that is meaningful to you, then stay tuned for Dr. DeMartini's 7 tips to overcome the fear of public speaking. Before we start today's episode, if this is your first time listening to the show, make sure that you click the subscribe button so that you're updated each time we load a new episode. And if after listening to this episode you love what you've learned, then we ask you to please rate this podcast and leave us a review. Also, share this podcast with the people in your network that you know would absolutely love to have the opportunity to learn this too. So grab a pen and paper and let's get started with Dr. DeMartini's top tips for overcoming your fear of public speaking. Enjoy.
Now, for many years, I have told people, as I've shared with people, one of the 5 S's of leadership, knowing what your service is, gaining specialized knowledge on it, and learning how to present and speak, and learning how to communicate and sell that, and learning how to save and reward yourself for doing something, sharing a message and a mission, is a key to leadership. Public speaking is one of the greatest leveraging faculties or activities that you can do to help yourself make a difference in the world. I'm so grateful that I made it a mission to do that and overcame my concerns about it. And I'd like to share with you some of those ideas or tips that helped myself and now many, many thousands of people around the world that I've been able to contribute to become more outgoing in speaking. Because they say that sometimes the biggest fear that people have in life is not the fear of death, it's the fear of speaking. And I've certainly seen people freeze and all of a sudden get angst, whether they're doing radio or television or whether they're just doing a presentation in front of a small group, et cetera. So this presentation is about how to transcend that and how to incorporate public speaking or presentation in your toolkit. So if you got something to write with and write on, I know that this will be valuable. First of all, I just want to let you know that I have been blessed to speak somewhere between 287 and 400 speeches most every year for 40 something years. I've been speaking 48 years. So I don't think this is a new thing to me. I think this is something that I have contributed to and learned a bit about. So just to know, if you're wondering, if you've never met me before, I've been doing this a long time. First of all, some rules. You want to write these rules down. You don't ever want to speak about something that you're not certain about. Because anytime you're speaking about something that you're not certain about, you're going to hesitate. You're going to procrastinate. You're going to tend to distract yourself and not be really present and focused. So stick to what you know and let what you know grow as you gain knowledge and as you expand your awareness that you're going to present about. So don't waste your time stepping outside of your core competence. Stick with what's core. And let me just share this. You know, when when you go to Toastmasters, and I've never been through a Toastmasters curriculum, although I've had a Toastmasters use my office facility for their classes, and I was a guest speaker one time there. I've not passed through a Toastmasters, but I did observe that one of the keys in the Toastmasters pathway was that you do an icebreaker. An icebreaker is when you do a presentation about something, a quick 10, 20 minute presentation about something you know. Well, the icebreaker is about your life. And so nobody in the audience knows more about your life than you. So if you are speaking about what you're knowledgeable about, and you have more knowledge than anybody in the audience, you're not likely to end up having anxiety about speaking. You know what? I found out that because in the icebreaker, when you're speaking about something about your own life, you know more about your own life than anybody in that audience. And so that's a core competence. So my advice is to stick to what you know, and you know something about yourself, and sharing stories about yourself is a great way of, you know, loosening up something that's true. Now, I found out that the reason why people have the fear of public speaking is not the fear of speaking. People speak and can ramble on for hours. I know people that have fear of speaking in front of public, but one-on-one, you can't get them to shut up. They're just nonstop. So it's not the fear of speaking. It's the fear of speaking in front of somebody that you think has more knowledge than you or more achievement than you. There are seven areas of life that I break life into. Your spiritual quest, your intellectual pursuits, your business quest, your financial quest, your family and love and intimacy quest, your social quest and leadership quest, and your physical health and well-being. Anytime you're doing a presentation and there's somebody in the audience that you believe is more empowered and in a greater stature or position than you are, you're going to compare yourself to them, or you could, but you may not, but you could. And the moment you exaggerate them, you'll minimize you. And the way values and conformity has assisted us through the ages as a survival strategy is the moment we offload our decisions and give power to other people and put them on pedestals, we tend to shrink in comparison and minimize ourselves when we exaggerate them. The moment we do, we'll inject their values into our life and judge ourselves relative to their values. And anytime we expect to live more in their values and not our own, we'll be comparing ourselves to what we think they expect, and then we'll end up beating ourselves up. Self-depreciation is a byproduct of comparing yourself to other people's values. So the moment you think somebody in that audience is more intelligent than you about what you're talking about, you're going to freeze, or you're going to have hesitancy. And you're going to be focused and self-absorbed about what they think about you instead of actually just presenting. I have fun with people. I sometimes have them imagine that they're speaking in front of a kindergarten class or a child's nursery, and they don't have a problem speaking. Then I put them in front of first graders. No problem. Second graders, no problem. When I get into high school, some start to have a problem. When I get into college, more people have a problem. But if I imagine them speaking in front of executives that are experts in the field that they're talking about, and they are perceived as having many years of experience, boy, they'll freeze. They'll hesitate. And all of a sudden they're self, you know, critical, worrying about what people think about them. Because anytime you give power to somebody else's opinion over your own, you're going to worry about what they think about you. And then now, instead of focusing on the mission and the message, what you're speaking about, you're thinking about yourself. You've gotten out of your core competence and you're comparing your knowledge to theirs. And that's not what's going to make you a great orator. You have to think about what it is you want to share. You want to think about the mission and message. And you want to make sure it's something meaningful that they're going to want. You have to care about your audience to know if it's something that's going to be valuable to them. And if it's something valuable to them, they're going to be listening. And when they're listening, they're not giving you that look like, well, this is, we already know this. And so you want to make sure you care enough about your audience to know your material and to make sure that if you perceive somebody out there that you think have more knowledge in you, try to find knowledge that you know that they don't know. That's important. And also, I found out that if we want to really do great at the presentation, if you have four times the amount of material that's needed to do the presentation than what's required in time. In other words, if you have a 30-minute presentation, have 2 hours of material minimum. I use that four rule as a long-term situation now for, 47, 8 years now. In other words, if you know you're going to do an hour speech, have 4 hours of material ready. If you have a half-hour speech, have 2 hours of material. If you can do a 15-minute speech, have an hour's worth of material. As long as you have more material than you are going to have time for, you've got plenty to say. You don't go, you're not wondering, you're fluent. So if you stick to your core competence, you have more material than you know what to say. You don't even have the time to do it. You'll come sharing that information. And also making sure that whatever you see in the audience in you, stop. I had a lady one time standing up in front of an audience, she froze. And I was there at the front row. And she just froze. She just said, I can't do this. And she just absolutely locked up. And I walked up there and I did it. I knew the group and I knew it was a kind of a casual setting, but to her, it was more insignificant than I think the real setting was. She, in her mind, made a big deal out of this talk. I don't think anybody really worried about it. And they all supported her, but in her mind, she was overwhelmed. So I stepped up on the stage and I said, may I come up and join you for a second? And she said, okay. And I came up there and I imagine I put my hand like that, like a tube, like a telescope. And I said, okay, let's go through the audience and find out who it is that you're having a difficulty speaking in front of. And out of the audience, there were three people. One was a woman who she felt was more successful and had more experience about what it is she was about to present. The other one seemed more intelligent, had more education than the other one. And the other one had more wealth and was more sophisticated and dressed nicer. So she was judging the audience based on what she perceived. And what it doesn't even matter if it's true or not. If your perception is that they're above you in your mind, who am I to speak? You're going to minimize you because you're graduating them. So I said, okay, what is it about this lady that you're perceiving she has? Well, she's more experienced and has more, you know, background. And I said, okay, so what exactly is the experience she has? Okay, this. Okay, where is your equivalent? So go to a moment where and when you perceive yourself displaying or demonstrating that same behavior. And I made her go through there and own all those times in her life where she did it. Now, this took quite a few minutes, but it was a point that I thought the whole audience would benefit from. And I figured she's not going to speak. We're going to use this as an opportunity, as an education process. And so in the process of doing that, I had her go in there and identify where she had whatever she saw in that lady in her own form. You know, if you're a cat and you're expecting to swim like a fish, you're going to beat yourself up. If you're a fish expecting to climb a tree like a cat, you're going to beat yourself up. But if you honor yourself as a cat, you'll do fine. Well, she was not honoring where she had knowledge that this other lady didn't. And she was exaggerating the importance of that other lady's knowledge. And so I had to go in there and find out where she had the equivalent knowledge that was valuable. And when she did, she calmed down. I said, now let's go to this other lady. Well, she's got more dress, her outfits and everything else looks more wealthy. Okay, where's your wealth? Everybody has genuine wealth. It may not be in the form of capital, financial capital, but it's in different forms, intellectual property, social contacts. So I had to go in and identify where her wealth was. And in her case, it was social wealth. It was intellectual wealth about a different topic, but not the thing that she imagined this lady having. And then when she stopped and thought about it, she realized the lady's actually married to a very wealthy man. And so she just looks the part, but she's not necessarily the one that developed all that. She's also worked, she developed it in the sense of her skills of partnering with somebody who was financially savvy and she was socially savvy and beautiful. So, but at the same time, she just put this lady on a pedestal. When she owned that, where she had that power, that calmed it down, where her wealth was. And we went through and did that to all three of the ladies. We found out what it is that they admired, that she admired in them. She put them on a pedestal. Where did she have it in equal form? And this took about 15 to 18 minutes. And I interrupted the program. It was inside one of my programs and she was having to do pre-presentation. She froze. So I felt okay to do it. I wouldn't have normally just walked up on a stage and done this. But in the process of doing it, I was educating everybody in the class and I showed them that the moment she leveled the playing field and realized that the person out there has a different form of what she has, but doesn't have something she doesn't have. When she leveled the playing field, she looked out there and we went back to those ladies and she wasn't anxious about it. And it wasn't the whole audience. It had nothing to do with the audience. It had everything to do with those three people in the audience that she was subordinating to and comparing herself to instead of focusing on her mission of what her message was. The moment she cleared that, she spoke. And she had tears in her eyes when she finished because people applauded. And what was interesting is the very ladies that she thought were, you know, on this pedestal, as an act of appreciation and love, I'm not sure what the motive was, but they put their hand up afterwards and said, it's interesting. I was sitting here thinking almost in reverse, thinking, wow, you had the courage to step up there. If I had to be up there right now, I'd be anxious. And, you know, I applaud you for being up there and being humble and put on the spot like that and just going for it. And so the very people that she had on this pedestal are the people that actually spoke up and acknowledged her for having the courage to do that and what they learned from that whole experience. So sometimes we exaggerate people based on subjective biases and past experiences and the way they're dressed and the way they stand or look or whatever. And we have these impressions and they're not even true. And sometimes we're not honoring it. But what you learn is, no matter what you see in other people, you have inside yourself in your own form. I've been teaching the Breakthrough Experience program for years now, 32 years. And I've yet to find a trait that we can find in others that we don't have its equivalent inside ourselves. If we admire something in somebody else, it's reminding us of something that we're too humble to admit we have, but we have. And once we identify it, instead of putting them on pedestals or putting us in pits, we level the playing field and we put them in our hearts. And when we speak from the heart about something we're core competently knowledgeable about, and we basically focus on that, we have so much we want to share that we don't have times to, I don't know, because you're not knowing what's next. You forgot something. You got plenty to share. Now, if you go out there and you share and you think about the people and think about what it is that will benefit their life, as long as you're talking about something that's going to fulfill their needs, they're going to be receptive. And when they're receptive, they give you feedback in their facial expressions that say, hey, I need to hear what you have to say. And they're receptive and they're supportive of you speaking. If you go in cocky and you assume that you know what they need, they're going to cut you down and critique and back off and put their arms across. But if you're really humble and you're just sharing and you want to share and you want to make a difference in their life and it comes across sincerely. So when you get up and speak, make sure you sincerely think about what is the mission and the real message you want to bring to the people. And if you do that, you'd be surprised what impact that will have on the outcome. Because if you go in cocky, they're going to be resistant and criticize. You go in humble, they're going to lift you up and support. You go in from your heart and they're going to open the heart with you. I learned a long time ago that when you're speaking and sharing a story that's a tearjerker, a heart story, when what happens is people go into their heart with you. I've had 9,000 people, even bigger audiences sometimes when I'm speaking about it, and I go into the heart on a story, the whole room is in tears with me. And there's no imbalance on the leveling of the playing field. We're all there in our hearts together. And that's profound. And you almost guarantee a standing ovation when you're done, because people just automatically rally around something that inspires them. And you want to make sure that you're actually thinking about all the moments in your life related to the topic you're about to speak to that is inspiring, and write down the most inspiring ideas, experiences, stories, or whatever that's related to that. So have those in your back of your mind and have those. If you want to have a little cheat sheet and have a little card in front of you with some bullet points, no harm. Some of the greatest presentations were done with the full bullet points. But don't try to read the speech necessarily, but having a few bullet points to just prompt your mind to think about what it's going to next. So there's some sort of order to it that helps. That's definitely in the process. But the fear of public speaking is the fear of saying something that you're worried about what people's opinion are. You know, we have a conformity situation in our life. At one time, thousands of years ago, if a man or a woman was out in the field and they were nomadic and they were trying to survive out there by themselves, they didn't do so well. So they joined into groups. Families and kinship and in township and cities, states, nations, and they just group into societies. And with that comes a differentiation of labor and social classes and people going above and below you in your social classes because of economics and all that type of social structure that occurs. What's interesting is the moment you end up having a fear of rejection from somebody, it's because you're basically afraid of being banished and stuck out there by yourself and have to go backwards. You rely on them because you delegate things and you have specialties and they have specialties and we all rely on each other today. But the real courage in life is not to just fit in and survive, but to thrive. And they're having the courage to actually identify what's really deeply meaningful to you and then go and get specialized knowledge and be at the cutting edge so you have something to say that's original, that you really believe in, that's not just what everybody already has. Because if you really want to make a difference in life, you're not going to do it by fitting in and just joining in and saying the same thing everybody else is saying. It's by finding something novel and original. You know, when you go on the TED Talks, for instance, you usually hear people saying something that's a little bit on the original side, things you haven't, oh, that's new, I hadn't thought of that. And that's what makes them intriguing. So dig and go and find something that's out there on the edge. That's why I say start with the core competence and go and take that and build momentum, focusing on what you do know. If you start with what you know and let what you know grow and build momentum at that, you'll build a cutting edge information base that will allow you to share something that you know they don't know that you want to share. And when you can't wait to share the information with people, people can't wait to get it. When you can't wait to get up in the morning and be of service, people can't wait to get the service. When you can't wait to share, they can't wait to They want to get the material that you have.
Listen up. Imagine knowing with absolute certainty that your life is working for you, that you're on track and that you're making progress towards the goals and dreams that you desire every day. If you've been an avid listener to this podcast, you'll have heard Dr. DeMartini mention his signature program, The Breakthrough Experience. It's a two-day weekend seminar where he shows you how to take everything that you've been learning on this podcast and put it into practice so that you can gain the shifts that you most desire for your life. If you would love to transform your life, and if you've been a little bit uncertain where to start or how to get there, then join Dr. John DeMartini at The Breakthrough Experience so he can show you how. What you'll learn in these 2 days is truly life transforming. It's time to put the power in your hands to create your magnificent life. To find out more, go to demartini.fm/seminar. You can also access the link in the show notes below. We look forward to seeing you there. And now let's continue with this episode.
And I learned many years ago that as a speaker, you know, because I'm doing it every day, 7 days a week, my responsibility is to constantly educate myself and learn. So I'm constantly reading every single day. I'm getting articles. I have articles coming in sometimes 10, 15, 20 in a day coming in at me that I'm reviewing. Plus I'm searching out articles and searching out information because I want to make sure that I've got new information that is inspiring, that allows me to refine and upgrade and keep current with information. So anytime you're about to do a presentation, if you have something that's inspiring, that's new, that you want to share, and something you spontaneously want to tell something about. You know, we've all had moments where we've come across somebody told us something, we want to quickly get that out there to people. And when we have that much of a yearning to want to share it, we're less likely to be concerned about what people think, because we know, I know people will benefit from this. And you want to fill a repertoire of that and build up a database of that, get on your computer and start organizing your knowledge, because organized knowledge is power. If you just read something and you don't organize it, it's less powerful than if you have it structured and have some sort of a cohesive presentation in your mind. So having data like that, knowledge like that, that's specialized, that's inspiring to you, that's highest on your values. Whenever you live by your highest values, you're more objective. Whenever you're living by lower values, you're more emotional. And when you're more emotional, you're more likely to be concerned with subjective bias, and you're more likely to be thinking I'm better than people out there or I'm below people out there. And that's not what the greatest presentation is. The greatest presentation is when you're just having something you can't wait to share with people you love and you people you care about. And when you walk on a stage like that or get ready to do a presentation, small group, large group, doesn't matter, or radio or television, and you're coming from that perspective, people feel that you're there and you're relating to them. And that makes a difference in your presentation. So you want to make sure that you are knowledgeable, like I said, in this is your highest priority thing that you want to share. If you stick to highest priority actions, perceptions, and stick to the highest priority information, you know you're going to go far. So start with your own knowledge. Write up your own biography. Write up your own introduction to public speaking. Because public speaking, as I said, is one of the greatest leveraging things that you got. I had the opportunity to go on radio and television and newspapers and magazines because I'm able to speak and speak in a form of written form. And Clubhouse and webinars and Facebook and YouTube. And we're able to reach millions of people because of public speaking. So you can't let public speaking, the fear of that, stop you. You have to have a cause bigger than the obstacle. When the why is big enough, the how's take care of themselves. Write down today why you want to be able to share your message with the world. That's been my mission since I was 17 years old. 17 years old, I had a dream. I have a painting of me standing in front of a million people, literally a million people speaking from a balcony to a million people with an iconic building from every major city around the world in the background. So I envisioned going around the world and speaking. That's been my dream. And I've been saying it to myself and seeing it for myself and cutting out pictures of the places to speak and imagine myself there. I even saw a picture of me speaking at the Palladium, and by God, it came true. It was many years later, but it took a while, but it came true. So see yourself, talk to yourself, think about it, visualize it, feel it, and get out there and do it. You learn to play the flute by playing the flute. I had a guy that was on my presentation the other day on Clubhouse, and I hadn't seen the guy and remembered the guy because I had met him quickly in a program. And he came up to me at a program and he said, you know, what would you advise to, if I want to be a speaker, what would you advise to do? And I told him, I said, start speaking. And at first he thought, well, that's too simple. I wanted some profound answer. I said, look, you play the flute by playing the flute. Play it. Get out there and speak. You know, I took an opportunity when I was young to go and speak to one person or two people or five people, 10 people in a hotel lobby. I used to go to conference sometimes and stand on chairs and wait for everybody to come out of the conference and just start speaking. People go, what is this guy doing? Because I wanted to overcome that concern. And I had the same fear when I started. When I was in my beginning, I didn't mind speaking in little small groups or one or two people. But when all of a sudden you put a large audience, I would be freaking out. But when I finally discovered it's because I'm comparing myself to them and thinking they have more knowledge. And then I find out where do I have it and where is it that I have something novel. And I made sure that I delivered something novel that was at the edge. Now I have no problem. I don't have the fear of public speaking anymore. I have the fear of not speaking now. I'm on the other side of the coin. But I found out if you go out and you play the flute and just go speaking, every single time you ask what worked and what didn't work. What worked, what didn't work. And you know what? If you do it, I can tell you, if you saw the videos of me 40 years ago, my son, I asked him to do an archiving of videos from back in the 1970s and 80s. And he took audio clips and video clips that we have that go all the way back there. And my son would be sitting there chuckling, laughing, sometimes bawling, laughing on some of the things that I did way back in when I was in my 20s and 30s speaking. And, you know, he was laughing. I said, I want you to compare yourself, son, not to me, you know, in my age now, but at that age where you are. So you can see that if you compare now, you'll think, oh, my God, I'm more experienced. But at that time, you're laughing because you go, man, I can do that. And you want to go out there and see people who are beginning because you go, ah, they're going through their anxiousness. They're having to learn the ropes. But I'm telling you that when I started, you'd laugh. You'd really roll over laughing some of the stuff that I got away with. And I just did it. And each time you learn another little piece. So you learn to play the flute by playing the flute. So don't let a small concern about public speaking stop you from getting out and making a difference in the world, because public speaking is amazing leverage. You can reach people. Well, in fact, we don't even know the impact. I don't even know. I was sitting in London about 2.5 years ago or something. Yeah, I think it's 2.5 now. And all of a sudden, there's 50 people in an area that are from Mongolia. And I'm here in London and I'm speaking. And there's a group from Mongolia, like 50 people. And at the end of my presentation, they come up to me and take a big picture with this whole group of 50 who want to take a picture. And they chartered a plane, a jet, from Mongolia. And as a group, as a study group, they were studying my work in Mongolia. And they came all the way to London just to come in to an evening event and fly back. I was blown away by it. I was tear-jerked by it. Wow. And I had no idea. I didn't even know those people existed. So the power of public speaking and getting your message out, those with a mission have a message. And I said, when the why is big enough, the hows take care of themselves. You got a big enough reason to share a big enough message with people across the world, you won't let anything stop you from your mission. Your vision is too big to let anybody stop you. So learn to play the flute by playing the flute. Get out and share your message. And realize that this is part of your mission, and your mission is to make a difference. And just know that if you exemplify that and conquer that, you'll give other people permission to do the same. And that is if you go out there and you speak, and you can stand up and on a stage and speak and make a difference in somebody's life, you're going to move in the top 20% of the world. Top 20% of the world. Just if you can overcome that and just get up there, even if you don't do something miraculous, you just get out there and speak. Top 20% of the world. If you can speak and you get people to listen, and you can articulate in a way that gives them something of value and inspires them a bit, you're in the top 20% of the 20% of the world. That's a point. That's a 4% of the world. That's a significant jump. If you can speak and then inspire them, you know, have them listen and inspire them to help fulfill a mission and let them go out there and take action where they're actually doing something, where they feel that you inspire them into action, you're in the top 20% of the 20% of the 20% of the world. If you go out and do that and make them go out and do that and start a chain reaction where they're doing the same to other people and impacting other people in a chain reaction, you're in the top 20% of the 20% of the 20% of the 20% of the world. And if you can create a whole culture indirectly through people doing that, you're in the top 20% of the 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 world. And that automatically gives you a leverage. So public speaking and opportunities to go out and leverage yourself with ever greater vehicles. Today, we've got a way of reaching millions of people on podcasts and webinars and Clubhouse and these things. Man, I would take every opportunity to do it. You don't wait for opportunity. You prepare and just go take it. And if you do, you overcome the fear by doing it and by owning the traits of the people that you're speaking to and sharing that message that's deeply meaningful and sticking to the core competencies and letting what's inside your heart get out into the world. Don't let any human being out there interfere with the mission and message you have to bring to the world. And don't let any fear stop you from a message being brought, because the fear is simply an assumption that there's going to be more drawbacks and benefits. And there is no such thing. Never is. There's always an upside to every downside or a downside to every upside. Don't set a fantasy that everybody's supposed to like you, because unless you're acknowledging that you're both a hero and a villain and know that there's a spectrum of value systems out there, and some people are going to like some things and some people are not. But the moment you're authentic and not cocky or minimizing yourself, but centered, you have the highest probability of love, which unites people, which transcends their opinion and their value system for just a moment in an unconditional state. That's why sharing stories is so powerful, because people aren't going to judge an authentic story that's inspiring to you. So document some authentic stories and have those prepared and ready to go. If you share some inspiring story that gets a message across, you're going to have people give you a standing ovation for the contribution. And one last thing, I had an opportunity one time. I was asked to speak on success, and I was 27 years old. I just opened up my practice at the time, and I had really not anything to call success in those days. But I got asked by a meeting planner to speak, guess what, to 65 to 80-year-old oil executive retirees. These are people that ran major companies, Shell, Arco, Texaco, Humble Oil, Exxon Mobil. I mean, these are in Houston, Texas. There's a whole bunch of oil companies, the oil capital. And what's interesting is I had to go and speak to 60 oil executives. I was 27 years old, and the topic was on success. And I thought, what an irony. These guys have run major corporations. I've just started my little practice, and I'm going to talk about success. And when I got to the location, I looked out behind the curtain, and I saw these executives sitting there with their arms closed, thinking, what the hell is this young guy going to do, you know? And I was a little intimidated, and everything that I had prepared for, I just forgot. I was now focused on me, and I was thinking, all right, universe. There had to be some sort of a universal God that's going to come in and take care of me on this one, I thought. And I said, what the hell do I do in this situation? And finally, right before I went up on there, just a minute before, I got an idea. And I thought, wow, the biggest fear that people face is having to public speak. Why don't I put them in a situation where they have to public speak and see what happens? And I got up on the stage and I said, as long as you're green, you're growing. As soon as you're ripen, you rot. And I had them all write that down. It was because the introduction brought me up there. And I said, all right, I want everybody to write this down. As long as you're green, you're growing. As soon as you're ripen, you rot. And they all wrote it down. I made them write it down. I said, now, if you are retired, and you have been executives and you've run major companies and you're now done with that, that phase is complete. As long as you're green, you're growing. As soon as you're ripe and you're rot. If you don't have something that's challenging you, that's meaningful to you, that you want to live for, that you want to make a difference in, you want to contribute to, you're going to decay. You're going to die. You're going to, you know, you're going to lose your faculties. And so I walked off the stage and I got down the stage and I turned the microphone right to them. And I said, so what is your biggest mission that you're committed to right now that is challenging you that you're frightened about accomplishing? And everybody just froze and they're all going, oh my God, he's going to ask us and put us on the spot in front of our peers. And all of a sudden this guy's hemming and hawing and he's going, And then I went around the room and I had everybody ask him that question. What is it, your mission? What's your anxiety? If it's nothing that you haven't done already, it's not really a challenge. If you're not challenging yourself, you're decaying. So what's the next challenge? What are you working on? What's your fears? And I asked him that. I went around the room and at the end of the presentation, I never did a speech, but I got a standing ovation because I did something that contributed to their life and helped them overcome their fear of speaking. And they got up And then they realized that everybody in there was just as scared as they were about having to present their anxieties. Anyway, it was one of those serendipitous moments. And I realized that I always had that as a backup as a public speaker. I could always get them to put the fear back on them and not on me. And that's just something funny, but it did work. And I realized that instead of letting the fear of public speaking stop our life, why don't we use it to our advantage? Why don't we see it on the way, not in the way? And by taking the principles I just gave you, those are just some of them. There's many more, but making sure that you're prepared and making sure that you have something that's understandable and a topic that's meaningful to them. But if you put those principles into play, it's going to make a difference. And public speaking is, again, one of the greatest leveraging factors. There's no way I would be where I am today if I hadn't transcended my concerns about public speaking. So I just wanted to share that. And just know that if you really want to go out there and do amazing visionary and bring a message out to the world, you also need an astronomical vision. So as a gift to you, I want you to take this gift. It's awakening your astronomical vision. It's standing there and looking at what is the vision that you want to make a difference in the world. It's a live presentation that I did at Johannesburg in the planetarium, which is a perfect place to do it because it was an astronomical vision. And I did a presentation to a series of executives from YPO, and I did a really inspiring presentation about how important it is to have a vision bigger than yourself if you want to get beyond yourself and go out and do something that makes a difference in the world. I'm absolutely certain that if you listen to this multiple times, this will help you not only expand the game you're going to play in, but also help you in the public speaking arena. There's no doubt in my mind, because if you sit down and follow some of the principles in this, it's going to help you get out there and make the difference that you want to make. So I just know that that's, without a doubt, a gift that will be something that I'd encourage you to listen to it 5 or 6 times, because that's what most people are doing with this. And in the process of doing it, it'll help you grow your confidence and certainty to go out and make the difference that you desire to do. And it doesn't matter what topic it may be, whether it's raising children or whether it's running companies to Mars like Elon Musk, doesn't matter. What matters is if you have a message inside you and you have a mission inside you that's ready to come out and you can public speak, you can bring that to the world and that can make a difference in you, in confidence and leadership, and also the people, because the information you give them, they'll be able to incorporate. And if you help other people get what they want to get in life, you get what you want to get in life. So I just want to share that and also make another announcement that coming up here very shortly, there's a masterclass that if we have it there called Breaking Through Critical Self-Judgment. Sometimes in your life, you basically have inner judgments of yourself. Public speaking is one of them. You can beat yourself up and question yourself because you've exaggerated people. But I'm going to go through what causes critical self-judgment. Why do we do that? What's its purpose? And how to use it to your advantage? Instead of sit there and beat yourself up about it, how to realize what creates it and what to do to use it to your advantage to go do something amazing with your life. Please take advantage of that. If you love what we're doing here on these little webinars, if you love our podcast that we go on, please go to our Dr. DeMartini Show, the podcast. And if you believe it will help somebody and you think about somebody in your mind that you know could benefit, please share that. Please pass this torch on to people. Every time I go out and do these little presentations, and as sometimes I'll get a thank you letter from people around the world, that's inspiring to me. And it makes me want to go out and give even more information. And I want you to do the same. Because if you go out and share your message with people, you'll have a ripple effect. And maybe what I share, you can share and carry on down the line. And then we make a difference. So if this is valuable to you and valuable to the people you care about, please pass the torch. Let them know what we're doing. Take advantage of our website. Do the value determination online. Go and check out all the different media that we're doing. There's so much.
Well, this was just a small sample of what Dr. DeMartini has to share. If you'd love to continue learning from Dr. DeMartini, then please click the subscribe button so that you're notified when we add the next episode. If you'd love to find out more about Dr. DeMartini and his work, then please log on to our website, drdemartini.com, and use the online chat function to talk to a member of our DeMartini team. We'd really love to get to know you and to understand what you're wanting to achieve so that we can best guide you through the appropriate education session to achieve your goals and dreams. We'd also love to invite you to join us in the DeMartini Stay Inspired Facebook group, which you can access by linking to demartini.inc/inspired. Our goal in the community is to help you to clarify your vision, stay focused and inspired, and take the appropriate actions to empower all seven areas of your life. So join us by linking to demartini.inc/inspired. That's it for this episode. We look forward to sharing more inspiration from Dr. Demartini shortly. Until next time, stay focused, stay inspired.